Billy Hall's recollections of that over have passed into cricket folklore. His vivid description underlines Worrall's paternal influence.
As I told you, the over took 15 minutes. The captain called me. He said, "Winfield, I'm still watching you." He said, "But whatever you do now, do not bowl a bouncer to Richie Beno." I said, "Okay, Skipper, you just watch me." And I walked back, still very hurt at the shame, the scandal of dropping that catch. My teammates were telling me, "We always knew you can't even catch a cold." But as I walked back, I had other things in mind. I became very purposeful. So if I could only just get this man now, 4.5 million people in the West Indies would really come away. And since it was only 3:30 in the morning, that would have been a good achievement. So I turned, looked around, fingered my cross, prayed a little prayer, pulled at my trousers and took off. God was merciful, because as I pounded the turf after bowling for 4 hours, I found that there was a little pep in my step and there was a little spring in my heels. So I said, "Hey, let's go, Benno." And I ran up, forgetting all that the captain had said, and bowled the fastest bouncer that I've ever bowled in my life. Benno seemingly surprised, shit for the hook, was to last. It took the glove. And there was Alexander, triumphantly in the air, taking the catch and rolling over in great triumph. I swung round, my arms upraised, going towards my captain, hoping he will embrace me. But all I got was a stony silence and a wicked stare. So I said, "He's out, Skipper, he's out." He said, "What did I tell you?" I said, "He's out, he's out." And then the joke was no more. He said, "Do you really understand what would have happened had that ball taken the top edge and gone for 4 runs? For the first time in 12 minutes, I remembered that Australia needed 4 to win. So there again, in deep despair, a batsman out, but still no joy. As the new bat came in to bat, Meckiff was his name. He took guard, a monumental rabbit. Surely he would not be able to stand the test of time as I moved in. But my spirit was broken. How could you expect a man to get a wicket and yet be admonished by his captain? And as I walked in meekly, I bowled just as meekly. I make it hit it just as sweetly to the May wicket boundary, seemingly. He ran one. He ran two, they ran three. The ball went right to the boundary, about a meter away. And there was Comrade Hunt, not giving up, chasing all the way, picking up the ball this meter from the boundary and throwing it with remarkable accuracy back to the wicketkeeper, who did not have to move a centimeter. He took the ball and stumped. And there was Grouse, sprawled out on the ground, and 2 yards out of his crease. So another man was out, and Sir Frank Worrall came up to me. He said, "You've got one ball to go." I said, "I know." He says, "And I'm watching you." And I said, "I know." And he said, "And what is more, the umpire is watching you too." So I did not understand what he was saying, so I said to him, "What are you saying?" He said, "Well, listen, one ball to go, and if you bowl a no ball, you will never be able to land in Barbados again." It was then that I saw the predicament I was in. And at that stage, Frank Worrall, as cunning as he is, called me over as I made my way back, and he said, "I have nothing to tell you. The problem is that batsman doesn't know that I have nothing to tell you. So, if I move the man at back with square leg 2 feet to the right, and then 2 feet to the left, he wouldn't know that I had nothing to tell you. So he did just that. There was Solomon, 2 feet to the right, and then 2 feet to the left. And I made my last lonesome trek back 40 yards away from the stumps. As I came in, gulping for air, and pressing through for the last ball, my feet planted some 3 yards behind the crease, just in case we had a benevolent Australian umpire. And so, Klein turned the ball back with us quick, like an easy run. It was, really, until Solomon, little Joe Solomon, moved smartly to his left, picked up the ball, and lit just one stump to see, threw and hit it bullseye. The square leg umpire, an Australian, jumped 4 feet in the air and still gave him out. And Meckett was heard to say, as he returned rather disconcertingly to the pavilion, "Fancy losing like that." West Indian cricketers were sure they had not lost. 10 men were out, weren't they? But we didn't know if we had won either. So we all went off the cricket ground, umpires, players, those who were not playing, those who were out, and the extras from the all gathered into one dressing room. We drank beer, we drank champagne, dinner was summoned from the Lennon's Hotel, and we did not leave there until 10:30 that night.